Chapter 1. Yukon Territory, Canada. Friday, June 21st. 32 hours before Cassie Gale went missing, she was driving her green Toyota Tundra west on Yukon Route 2 through dense forests of spruce and aspen. Though it was late June, the air was cool, and in the light rain that fell from dull gray clouds, it almost smelled like fall. Every so often there were breaks in the trees that flanked the highway, and Cassie caught glimpses of pristine valleys and faraway peaks, and slowly grew calmer, at ease, not at all the troubled woman who'd left Montana 3 days before. But just as quickly, the vista was swallowed by thick, gloomy, claustrophobic woods that seemed to gnaw at her mood. On impulse, Cassie reached for the center console. When she did, the regal male German shepherd in the passenger seat cocked his head, and his eyes narrowed. Cassie stopped her hand short of the console and willed it back to the wheel. "Sorry, Maverick," she said, reaching over and scratching the dog's head. "I promised I wouldn't go there today, didn't I?" Maverick nuzzled Cassie's arm as she drove past a sign that read, "Dawson City, Yukon, 50 kilometers." "Thank God," Cassie thought, fighting a yawn, "just 30 miles. It was past 7 in the evening by then, and she'd been driving nearly 12 hours. She had come all the way from Watson Lake in the southeastern corner of the territory and had sat through dozens of summer highway work delays on the route. She looked forward to a shower, food, a cold beer or two, and a clean bed in Dawson. She desperately wanted one more good night's sleep before she pushed on into the great unknown. That thought made her feel better. The great unknown. Adventure. Wild places. A break from the hustle and bustle of the modern world and the pain she was leaving behind. The thought made her smile and take an appraising glance at herself in the rearview mirror. Cassie was in her early 30s, 5'5" and very fit, with short ash blonde hair and dark sapphire eyes. She wore little makeup, and her skin was deeply tanned and sunspotted due to many years out in the extreme elements. As a result, she was more handsome than beautiful, and at this stage in her life, that suited her just fine. And so did traveling alone with Maverick. Cassie believed she and the shepherd were more than capable of handling themselves in any situation. She was just trying to enjoy the sheer newness of every turn in the road ahead. But then, in the deep recesses of her mind, a little pang of familiar misery ran through her. She reached for the center console again, only to stop. Returning her hand to the wheel, she rolled her shoulders back and lifted her chin up high. It was something her dad had taught her as a young girl when she was feeling down. "Act like you are queen of the world, Cassie. Stand like you're queen of the damn world and everything else will fade away," he used to tell her when she was young and moping about some minor tragedy. Crossing a bridge, she glanced down to the creek below, swollen, silted, and rushing with runoff from the snowfields high above. The frothing water triggered another memory, a bad one, and before she could stop herself, raw, stinking emotion, as swollen and roiling as the creek below, filled her chest and throat. Tears blurred her eyesight until she had to pull over beyond the bridge. Throwing the truck in park, she rested her forehead on the steering wheel and sobbed. Maverick began to whine and snuffle at her cheek and ear. "I know," Cassie said, wiping her eyes, then hugging the dog. "I love you too, big guy." Maverick's tail wagged as he licked the tears off her face. Ordinarily, that would have been enough. Cassie would have bathed in her dog's unconditional love and driven on. Instead, she lifted the center console lid and got out her Global Star GPS satellite phone. "I know you don't like it, but I have to," Cassie said, turning the phone on. Against a voice in her head commanding her to stop, she dialed the moment she had a solid connection. At the other end of the line, a phone rang 4 times.